Amen. Well, we are glad to have you here this morning, and we are going to be in John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. The title of the message is What John Said About Him. And we're going to look at that. We'll actually have two Johns talking about Jesus, the John the Baptist and then the Apostle John. So we'll look at that this morning. But what John said about him. If you're able to come on Wednesday night, then write down your questions this morning or think of some questions you have. And we'll answer those on Wednesday night. We'll meet in the fellowship hall and drink some coffee and some tea and some water or whatever you want. And then we will discuss this that we preach on this morning more in depth, and we'll answer questions. So if you'd like to be a part of that, it's a good discussion and a good time to learn. So please come on Wednesday night. But this Sunday morning, what John said about him. So by way of introduction, last week we studied Jesus' meeting with Nicodemus, and the Lord talked to Nicodemus about being born again. You must be born again. And he talked about believing and the consequences of unbelief. And basically we see John the Baptist and John the Apostle then teaching this same concept this morning, and we're going to talk about that. This is John the Baptist's last recorded testimony of Jesus Christ, and this was before he was put into prison. So in this section of John 3, we find baptizing in verses 22 through 24. So the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says, for a short time, the ministry of John the Baptist overlapped Jesus' ministry. Thus, the Judean countryside must have been alive with the teaching of both these great preachers of repentance and God's kingdom. Both John and Jesus had disciples. Large crowds followed both of them and both baptized. So the Bible says in John 3 and verse 24, for John was not yet cast into prison. So the Bible says they both baptized, but Jesus Christ probably didn't do any baptizing himself, but instead granted the authority to baptize to his disciples. If Jesus had baptized, people would have almost certainly attached saving power to that baptism. Can you imagine if you were baptized by Jesus Christ himself? And you would think, well, that must have to do with my salvation. And in fact, we see the idea that baptism saves cropping up fairly early in the early church. And so that would have probably happened, but Jesus made it plain when he healed people when he saved people that it came by faith alone. And that's what he taught to Nicodemus last week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So salvation is by faith alone. In fact, as Steve brought up on Wednesday night during our discussion, some people asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? What is the work necessary that we must do? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And so God's work is faith. That's God's work. And we are saved by the grace of God through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And so if we look in John chapter 4, we see this statement, John 4:2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So Jesus actually didn't do the baptizing. He just oversaw it while his disciples did it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So while baptism's important, I mean, after all, it's a part of the Great Commission. God commands us to baptize. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so God commands us to baptize, so it's important, but it's not the same thing as the gospel. And we're saved by the grace of God through faith alone in Christ, not through baptism. So Jesus preached the gospel and his disciples baptized. Now we see questioning, verses 25 through 30. And the first thing we see is questioning about purification and popularity in verses 25 through 26. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Now, Jesus had just spoken to Nicodemus. Perhaps Nicodemus was among these Jews, but they questioned with John's disciples about purifying, and they were debating purification, which was important to the Pharisees. The Pharisees had all these ceremonial washings that they would do. And so they were questioning, and they apparently brought up baptism. Baptism was a form of ceremonial washing at that time. And apparently they brought up why Jesus was baptizing so many instead of John, since it was John's ministry. And we see that from what the disciples say to John the Baptist. If we go to the next verse, they came unto John, and that's they is talking about his disciples. So John's disciples come to him and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So they were concerned about Jesus' baptism ministry and his popularity. After all, John the Baptist had the big baptism ministry, and they saw Jesus as competition. Can you believe that there was jealousy in the ministry? But we see something similar if we go back to the book of Numbers with Moses. We see something similar. Numbers 11, verses 26 through 30. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord, Moses, forbid them. Tell them to stop. They're prophesying. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. So Joshua was upset about the fact that these two other guys were prophesying. He said, Moses, you're the prophet. That's your ministry. That's what you're supposed to do. Stop them. And Moses said, I would that everybody was prophet. The Spirit would come upon everybody. And so John the Baptist's disciples were concerned. Jesus is baptizing a bunch of people. That's our ministry. And we see John's answer in verses 27 through 30. I am not the Christ. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given to him from heaven. So the ministry that John the Baptist had and the ministry that his disciples had came from God. That's where it came from. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. So how can you be jealous of another person in the ministry if everything you have and everything he has comes from God? Who are you going to be upset at? God?
Everything we have is from you.
That's right. So, John is simply saying, look, if Jesus is baptizing and he's doing all these things, it's from God. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So John said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one that's supposed to get the glory. I'm not Christ. My job is to point people towards Christ. And then we see the illustration of the bridegroom in verse 29. So John says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. So the friend of the bridegroom was like the best man at our weddings. His job was to help the groom get married to the bride. Once he was married, the job of the bridegroom was done. It wasn't his job to take the glory. The wedding was not about the friend of the bridegroom. It was about the bride and the groom. And in the Old Testament, Israel is pictured as the wife of the Lord. And so John was introducing Israel to the Lord. Once the Lord had come, the focus was off John, and it was on to Jesus. And then we see John's statement about his own status. He must increase, but I must decrease. And John's disciples had to understand this, and so do we. We've got to understand that too. He must increase, and I must decrease. So, a lot of times when we debate things, even, you know, I love Twitter. I go on Twitter, I get news off of Twitter. I read theological debates on Twitter, and I enjoy it because it's little short arguments. And I blame President Trump when he was in office for getting me addicted to Twitter. But at any rate, I read it. And so, I read these theological arguments, and a lot of these guys are just interested in pushing their point. And that's what we usually do when we have, that was one of my fears about having this study the way we're having it, is that we get in there and just argue. But that hasn't happened. And that's good. We've studied the Bible, and that's a wonderful thing. But a lot of people, when they're debating theology, they just want to push their point and they're closed to anything that you might have to say. And being people, naturally, what we say, there's going to be things that we understand and things we think that are wrong. And so we need each other to sharpen one another and to help one another in our understanding of Scripture. But if we just take this philosophy that John is teaching here, he must increase and I must decrease. It's not about me. It's not about my ministry. It's not about me winning my point. It's about Christ. What we're trying to do is let Christ be exalted. And we're trying to understand the Word of God so that we can better follow Christ and worship Christ. And if we just take that as our point, there won't be any issues. Because he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's a hard thing to do. One of the hard things to do as a preacher is to not get prideful. And God has worked in my life to humble me. And so we can't get prideful about the church because the church is small. That's right. I can't get prideful about my book sales because nobody buys my books. I write books. I have books for sale on Amazon, but no one buys them. Few people every year. Please buy my books. We're doing a special sale at Christmas this year. But at any rate, yeah, that's right. We all have a sense to get prideful. And God wants us to acknowledge Him and depend on Him. I'll never forget being in church. And this is when I was in Bible college. And they had built a new sanctuary. And it was a huge sanctuary. Huge. And they had thousands of people that went to the church there. And so the pastor got up. And he was always very careful to give God glory for what was happening. And he got up and he started talking about how big and massive the sanctuary was and how incredible the sanctuary was and how much they had spent and what all they were doing with it. And he all of a sudden got tongue-tied and couldn't speak anymore. And he said, "Please pray for me." And God can do that. God can take us and take when we get prideful and just put us in a place to where we understand that we must depend on God. And so he must increase, but I must decrease. Evangelizing. We see that in verses 31 through 36. And we see, first of all, teaching about Christ. Now, verse 31 and following is probably the Apostle John speaking after he's concluded John the Baptist. Remember that when you're looking at the manuscripts, they didn't have quotes in the manuscripts. It's not like ours where we have quotes. So most theologians think that this is John the Apostle speaking. "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." So John is making the point. John the Baptist has just said, "I must decrease, he must increase." And so John the Apostle makes the point, "He that cometh from above is above all." That's Christ. Christ is above all. "He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all." So there's a difference between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. There's a world of difference. And John the Baptist came from the earth. Jesus Christ came down from heaven. And so Jesus Christ is above all. And so he must increase. John must decrease. And that's true of all of us. "And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." Now, that is the way that it appeared. Remember that when John wrote the Gospel of John, Jesus had already died and was resurrected. And so, comparatively, it appeared to John that no man was receiving his testimony. Remember what Jesus said about his own ministry. He said, "Enter in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, maybe the way you were brought up, that meant, because we hear people talking about the straight and narrow, keep to the straight and narrow, and maybe the way you were brought up, that meant that you better live right. You better walk the straight and narrow way, because that's the way to life. But that's not what that's talking about there. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "I am the gate." And so, Jesus is the door. He's the gate. He's the way. And that's what it's talking about. The way that leads to destruction is anything but Jesus. It's a broad way. Most people will choose to get saved or to be religious through going to church, doing good works, being religious, doing that kind of a thing. But Jesus said, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." And so Jesus is that way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The only way to God the Father is through God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to get to heaven. Faith in him. And so the ministry of Jesus was characterized by many not getting saved and by few finding the true way, which is the opposite of the way we think it should be. But if you look at the whole of the world, you know, the Apostle Paul, even though they were seeing lots of people getting saved in the Roman Empire, the Apostle Paul said that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ, is a stumbling block to the Jews. And it's foolishness to the Greeks. And so, for the majority of people that hear the gospel, they will not believe it. Now, that doesn't make sense to us Christians, because as Christians, we think, why would people not believe this? We can't understand it. But the truth of the matter is that most people won't. They'll stumble over simple faith in Christ. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to save people, or that God doesn't want us to tell people how to be saved. And the truth of the matter is, God saves people all the time that you think would never get saved. God specializes in hard cases. God saves religious people. He saves the poor. He saves the rich. He goes in to all kinds of circumstances all over the world and calls people out and saves their souls that you would think that person will never get saved. And then you see somebody that's religious, that goes to church, and that is doing all these good works. And Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me that day, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name healed people, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so there are going to be even religious people, many, that will not be saved because they haven't done the will of God. What is the will of God? That you believe on him who he hath sent. This is the will of God, the Bible says, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And so they didn't believe in Jesus as their Savior. That's what most people miss. Most people think that's too easy. That's too easy. Just faith in Christ. That's too easy. You can't just be saved by believing in Jesus as your Savior. There's got to be more. And so what they end up doing is they end up trusting in their good works, their baptism, their church membership, their promises to do better. They end up trusting in all these things instead of putting their faith in Jesus. But it's faith in Christ that brings salvation to sinners. So Jesus' ministry looked like no one was responding to him, even though lots of people responded to him. But it looked, I mean, in the end, think about it, in the end, who was there with him? The whole world turned against him. The Jews turned against him. His own nation turned against him. He was being crucified. There was only a small group of people that were there with him in the end. That's why Jesus said that we would do greater things than he had done. Not as far as the cross is concerned, but I mean as far as seeing people saved and all those kind of things. The apostles saw more people saved and so on and so forth. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his to his seal that God is true. So when we agree that with what Jesus said, we are saying that God is true. What Jesus said is the word of God, and what God says is truth. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So when Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke the words of God. Now, the Old Testament prophets, the Jews believed that the Spirit was given to them by measure, that it was measured out. But John said, okay, Jesus comes, he comes preaching, he comes prophesying, and the Spirit is not given unto him by measure. God didn't give the Spirit by measure to Jesus. The Spirit was working through Jesus in fullness. In fullness. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And of course, all things includes all who are saved and all who will be saved. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So Jesus says, everybody the Father gives me comes to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Which is one of many reasons why you can't lose your salvation. the Father gave you to the Son, and the Son's not going to cast you out.
We don't realize what we've got.
That's right. We don't realize what we've got.
We don't. I'm just sitting here thinking, Lord, I ought to be passing off the seeds.
Amen.
We don't. Our little pea brain don't understand what He's doing and what He's done. He picked me when He could pick anybody.
That's right. He reached down right where we were at and saved us. That's a beautiful thing.
You know why? Because He wanted to.
That's right. He wanted to. He wanted to.
Because He loves us.
That's right.
More than measure would ever know.
Amen.
It's amazing how we can sit in the pew and not be just praising God.
It's because we get used to what we have. Or we don't realize what we have.
No, we don't understand. We don't understand. Someday we'll understand why He did what He did. What are you going to do when you see Him? I don't know what I'll do when I see Him. Probably hit the ground with my face.
Amen.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So teaching about faith in Christ, this is the last verse we'll look at. Not only did John teach about the person of Christ and the work of Christ, but he also taught about our response to Christ, which is faith. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now that's very similar, basically the same to what Jesus said in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So in these verses, Jesus and the Apostle John divide the whole world into two groups. Those who are believing and those who are not believing on the Son. Those who believe have everlasting life. And those who don't believe will not see life. Incidentally, in John 3:36, the word that is translated, he that believeth not, means more than he that just disbelieves. In John 3:18, the word that is translated, believeth not, just means that they don't believe. You either believe or you don't believe. But here in John 3:36, the word that is translated, believeth not, literally means they refuse to obey. They refuse to believe. It is a stubborn refusal to believe the gospel. And can you imagine the judgment of God on men and women who hear the gospel? Who hear the gospel preached to them? Who hear the invitation to come to Christ? And that say, no, I will not believe it. I will not believe this. I won't receive it. And so, this is a warning. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, a great promise. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, which group are you in this morning? Which group is your family in? Which group are your friends in? They're either in the believing group or the not believing group. They're either believing on Christ as Savior or they're refusing to believe on Christ as Savior. And so we as believers need to share the gospel. We need to share the gospel. God saves people through the gospel. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And when you preach the gospel, when you share the gospel with people, God works in their lives and convicts them and opens their hearts. And let's do that this week. Let's share this message. Because the alternative to people believing is that the wrath of God abides on them. And according to John 3:18, they're already condemned because they haven't believed the message that Jesus died for their sins on the cross and was buried, and 3 days later rose from the dead. And that's the gospel. Jesus loves us. He died for us. He rose from the dead. And He'll save us if we simply believe in Him as Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these scriptures. I thank You for this sobering message. We're either believing in the Son or we're not believing in the Son. I pray that we would share this message with those that we love. That You would bring to our minds ways to share this message and how to share this message best. And that our loved ones would come to faith in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. We're going to sing a verse of Amazing Grace. Stand and sing that.